In the hole.
Yeah. Wow.
Great
putt,
man.
Wow. Here we go.
Seven.
Episode lucky number seven.
Mm-hmm. More rules controversies bringing their way through the Honda Classic for 2019.
All terrible rules controversies.
Is there just a police officer from the USGA going back and rewatching film and, I mean, assessing penalties after the round the next day? Blows my mind.
The one on Adam Schenck that JP's referring to was horrendous. Mm-hmm. The caddy, he's in a green side bunker, and the caddy's standing behind him. I'm not real sure what he's doing, but he's not lining him up.
He's just kind of talking him through the shot, and he's there, and he walks away, and he hits a miraculous shot.
The thing that makes me mad about the rules is that I thought they were written, or this one was changed with that there had to be some intent involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no intent on these guys.
There would be some more interpretation to it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the rule was written because of the stuff going on the LPGA Tour. And I don't know that they've had any rules controversies with this.
No, we haven't had a rules controversy since Lexi. Well, no, we had the backstopping one. But
yeah, that's true.
But another thing that, I mean, in the past week over Twitter, a lot of pros have been going after the USGA. Justin Thomas, our friend Patton, they've all made a few comments that have kind of blown up and stolen some headlines. Is it time that we take different rules from the USGA and make the PGA Tour have their own rules, or does that kind of hurt the game?
I don't think it would hurt the game if the PGA Tour just said, we're going to make our own rules. We can drop from knee to shoulder height, and we can, they're not hard to enforce.
I will say one thing though. I mean, yeah, they're not hard to enforce, but these rules are really not that hard to follow. We just played our first event this week for the new year down in Savannah, Georgia for our college team. And there were no big rule controversies. I was actually on the rules committee.
Big time.
Yeah. Big time JP, but we didn't have anything pop up like that. I mean, these guys are professional golfers. Why are their caddies standing anywhere near them when they're lining up? Like for years, you haven't been able to touch the line of the putt. The caddies never did that. Like why can't we just figure it out? Like, we should not be dropping it from different heights than the knee height. Just, you've had, when did they announce this was going to happen? Sometime last year. You've had
2018 sometime.
You've had a lot of time to figure it out. Get it right. It's not complicated. It does look really funny, though, in person to see them dropping it from knee height.
I mean,
we were playing during some wet conditions this week, so there were a lot of people taking drops from casual water, and they've got to get down to the little knee, and it looks so delicate, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and then you had the picture of Ricky dropping it.
I don't think he was pooping.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's taking a dump. And, I mean, that was pretty comical, but he ended up obviously getting right, but. And maybe we'll come back. Well, you touched on the USGA. So Justin Thomas sent out
that's a weird situation there.
And then the USGA said, we've had all these meetings with you.
Let's talk.
You've canceled them. Well, then they came out today and said, actually, you haven't missed any meetings. we still want to talk to you.
Yeah.
How do you tweet out that you've canceled meetings? And then, oh, wait. Well, maybe you didn't cancel meetings.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Who's running that Twitter handle?
Interns.
But somebody's telling them to tweet that.
Right, right.
And who knew? Why does the USGA need a PR Twitter handle?
I don't know. And why are they going after somebody for voicing their opinion like that? Like, simmer down.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let's move on for now from the rules. They may come up again.
Hopefully this is our last week talking about this silly stuff.
Nah, I doubt it.
Right.
But the Honda was everybody was kind of getting on it about being a weak field. But at the end of the day, it's about like when people got on Chambers Bay for being a hard golf course. As long as the stars are there at the end and there's a good finish,
mm-hmm.
nobody cares.
And they were there.
I mean, that was a great Sunday. Koepka and Ricky Fowler making a birdie in 17 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously Keith Mitchell, you know, making a 15-footer to win on the last hole.
What do you think's harder to do? Let's say that putt was to tie. What's more pressure, to make it to win or make it to tie?
Oh, to tie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too.
Free rolling it.
Right. Nothing to lose.
Yeah, and it's a putt that the greens were pretty quick. I don't know how aggressive he could be with it, but it had pretty good pace going mm-hmm. in the hole. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want a putt to win.
Did you see the headline down in South Florida?
Yeah, they tweeted the no name champion.
Wow.
They tried to say that. I mean, it's a terrible headline.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to say that he made a comment on Friday, or he fueled off of somebody making a comment that he was a no name that was tied at the top of the leaderboard.
Well, I mean,
but you can't say that as a headline.
No,
but that was
for him to say that. That's fine. He hadn't won anywhere since college.
Right. The writer. That was the paper's explanation that they were trying to.
The same guy that wrote that's probably the USGA Twitter handle.
That's true.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was a tremendous event.
I missed Sunday. I didn't want to. I got back to my hotel after our practice round down in Savannah. Had it on TV quick enough, and was looking to watch the final 2 hours. But NBC down in Savannah decided to show tracking of the storm for a whole 2 hours and interrupted coverage. And
well, that's about what you saw on NBC. Yeah,
I tweeted out a complaint about it, and some guy came after me about people getting hurt in the storm, and I'm being petty for wanting to watch golf, but I don't think anybody's turning on the TV if they're in a life-threatening situation to see what's happening. Maybe.
Yeah, but it wasn't near y'all in Savannah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, the golf coverage was horrendous again, so.
So I didn't miss much?
No, you didn't miss a whole lot. Ricky made a big putt late in the event, and we watched it with no sound because they were doing a playthrough commercial.
Oh, God. NBC, the commercial channel.
But they're all bad.
Yeah.
I mean, CBS is bad, too.
I've been going after them for a couple of years on Twitter.
Yeah.
And they don't respond, and nothing's changed.
They don't care.
No. No.
No, everybody gets on them.
Yeah.
And if you go on...
Noling Up went after him the other day.
They go after him all the time. Everybody does.
I like when Noling Up gives us the count. Like last year in the British Open, they counted how many commercials and how many live shots we saw. That was pretty good.
Did they count your Guinness beers?
Simmer.
So, Koepka almost wins. And do you think it would have tarnished his legacy if he'd won? And won like a normal tour event?
What do you mean tarnished? I think that would increase it because they give him such a hard time about that.
I mean, he's won 2 U.S. Opens and a PGA.
Right.
And why would he want to win the Honda?
He's won one other tour event?
Yeah, but it was one of those...
Off week?
It was like a... It was something overseas, like a money grab in the fall.
Yeah.
I don't know if that even counts.
Yeah. Does he care to win these? The Honda? Does he just play in them to keep the minimum starts going?
Probably.
Did you see him warming up on the range cross-handed?
No.
One of my kids sent me a video. He's literally warming up on the range like Josh Broadway, hitting cross-handed full swing shots.
Really?
Yeah. It was impressive. And then he's out benching like 400 pounds.
I did see that.
Yeah.
But he's opened up a lot this year, and there have been some quote. I mean, he's going after people this year, which is interesting because last year, I think it was maybe before the PGA, he was complaining that nobody wanted to talk to him and nobody was setting interviews with him and all that. Do you think he's now just decided, okay, I'm just going to say whatever I want?
I like seeing his personality come out.
Yeah.
I just hope he doesn't post more pictures of him in a thong.
Yeah, that was not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what you got on Koepka.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
That's about it. So Koepka and then Ricky Fowler, like I said, he kind of wobbled early, made some great putts on 17 and 18.
Who are you rooting for coming down the stretch? I mean, at any point did you root for VJ?
I don't know.
I was big on VJ to start the day, and I thought I had a feeling Wyndham Clark was going to go away, just because it's kind of his first time there. He's a rookie. I didn't want him to, but I mean that's a big stage playing with VJ. He got all those guys chasing you down. I thought VJ would be able to handle it, and he did for the most part. He had a lot of quality shots, but I wanted to see him break that record. I think he's got a good story. He's a fun guy to watch. Maybe not for most people, but I kind of enjoy it.
We'll come back to VJ, but speaking of Wyndham Clark, he got in the event because of a top 10 in Puerto Rico.
That's how he got in?
That's how he got in.
Wow.
And I didn't know that, and I was like, that's a pretty good rule, I think, if you finish top 10.
Does he have tour status, or was he in Puerto Rico? He might have been in Puerto Rico.
He must be kind of lower down on the status.
I'm trying to think if he got through the web last year, or if he might have been sponsors to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Because he just finished school in the past.
I think he got through the web finals.
I guess I should have looked that up. I just figured he was on tour. He started out at Oklahoma State and went to Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good player.
Very good player. So back to VJ. I don't know if I was pulling for him or not. I saw that video again of him working out in the off season.
Throwing tires
and hitting them with sledgehammers and the only exercise I don't understand on that is when he looks like he has like the old TaylorMade 3-wood and he's hitting something that looks like he's either gonna break his wrist or the club.
Yeah.
I don't get that exercise.
The hammer thing's funny. If you ever, for those of you that might know my dad, John Kircher, he carries around like a 40-pound axe in the back of his car. And every chance he gets, he's swinging that thing because at some point Lee Trevino told him to swing a heavy club. And I'm telling you, he swings this axe. He can barely pick it up over his head, but he's swinging this thing like a golf club. And
is he just trying to stay loose?
I don't know what he's doing. It works for him. He's a pretty good player.
I'd say he was leading the New York AM after one round, right?
Yeah, at 60 years old.
Yeah, so maybe we all need to get 40-pound axes and throw them.
He does. It's funny. He'll be grilling out, and he'll get his cigar going, and he'll walk over to the backyard with his axe.
It's an actual axe.
Yes. Yes.
That's hard to explain if you get pulled over. Sir, why do you have a 40-pound axe in your car?
Right.
That's for my golf swing.
But it works for him.
Some of the stuff on VJ, though, when I looked up, I didn't realize. I think I knew this, but I didn't remember it. He's third all time in money.
Is he? He's ahead of Dustin.
He goes Tiger, Phil, VJ. VJ's won $71 million.
Gee, 34 times, right?
34 times, and this is his 27th year. I mean, in 2004, so that would have been 15 years ago, and he's 41. He won 9 times.
Yeah,
in 2004,
when Tiger was playing,
9 times.
What's he won? 3 majors, 2 masters, and a PGA?
Yes. And he won 20 something times since he turned 40.
Yeah, the most ever since 40, right?
Just think about that. I mean, Phil is, I mean, I don't know how many times Phil's won since he turned 40, but nowhere near. He probably hadn't won half.
No.
He probably hadn't won 10 times.
No chance.
And VJ was trying to beat Sam Snead to be the oldest winner on tour. And that is a record that has stood since 1965.
Do you think he could do it this year?
DJ?
Yeah. Like is he going to play more?
He ain't going to play it. I don't think he's going to play enough. I saw he's playing this week.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, he's in the field. But I don't know.
I'm surprised he'd play this week and not play the players. Maybe he's doing all of it.
He could be doing both.
Yeah.
He
Does his background, I had a Dan from Dan's Ponzi Pool.
Yeah.
He texted me on Sunday and said he had nobody in the field doing anything, so he was just watching to root against VJ. And I said, "Why? You don't want to see that story?" He said he hates him because he's a known cheater. I mean, he had the Asian Tour problem. He's had a couple run-ins on tour.
He sued the tour.
Sued and won. Deer antler spray.
That's right. Before anybody knew what that was.
Going back to his Asian tour, he got banned from the Asian tour at one point, I think.
Yeah, there was a guy from around here that played over there, and I remember growing up, and this would have been early 2000s, late 90s when VJ was kind of coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And he had evidently played with VJ, and there were stories going around of him and Monday qualifiers over there where he'd turn in his, they'd turn in their card, and then VJ would somehow go back and erase his card. And there was an event supposedly where he played with a guy, VJ, knew VJ didn't Monday qualify, and then turns on the TV Thursday and VJ's playing. And I mean, this is in the, you know, 90s.
Yeah,
and he's like, hold on. Like, how is VJ playing? He did not Monday qualify.
How does that not stick with you a little bit better to where you're able to come and redeem yourself off that? There's a guy, I can't think of his name. He's an Irish guy. He got banned from professional golf for 30 years for cheating on the European Tour. Professional golf across all stages.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
How does VJ get caught? I mean, he got caught on the Asian Tour. And now he's in the World Golf Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he didn't need to cheat. I mean, no. The guy's won
and he
34 times on tour.
I think he cheated on his wife.
Probably.
I shouldn't make accusations when I don't have hard facts here, but I know he's not with her.
Yeah. But he was definitely a villain, but I think this past Sunday is probably the closest you'll get to people cheering for him.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, mainly because he's 56 years old and he hadn't been there in a while. They said it was his first final group since 2012.
I'm surprised he hasn't done a little bit more damage on the senior tour.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some motivation issues there.
Yeah, but I mean, he's playing a full schedule. That guy doesn't care. That guy, the off-season stuff he's doing, as many balls as he hits. He's run caddies off because they don't want to sit on the range as long as he does.
Yeah. I mean, and you always heard about him that he kind of got a bad rap because he didn't treat the media well. But then there were kind of mixed reviews. I mean, I remember when I was at Auburn, Jason Duffner played all sorts of practice rounds with him and would fly places with
him. Yeah, they were pretty tight for a while.
They were big buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he may be one of those guys, once you get in the trust tree, it's, you know, he's good friends with you. But then he's always got this checkered past on cheating. And
is there a way to redeem yourself from that cheating stuff? I mean, has he done it maybe?
I mean, probably just taking time.
Yeah. I don't think he's ever outwardly come out and said anything about it.
No. But here we are. 30 years later,
yeah,
and
it was in the
80s. Still comes up.
Mm-hmm. It'll come up everywhere.
Yeah, but like I said, he didn't need to. He's third all time on the tour in money.
Right. You can't cheat on the PGA Tour unless you're playing the old days where you just threw coins down on the ground.
That's right.
But I wish we knew who that was.
Yeah, well, we got to find that out for sure. And we can talk a little more about Keith Mitchell, which was just impressive performance, birdied 4 of the last 7.
You know, show us how much we were paying attention, though, on Friday, by the way. We were interviewing Spencer, and he said, yeah, we got another dog out there. And we both kind of looked at each other like, what did we miss?
I had to pull up the leaderboard and be like, there's so many of them out there. Who are you talking about?
Right.
And then I think we looked, and we're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we just kind of ran with
it. Keith Mitchell had a good round today.
Mm-hmm. And that was a fun time interviewing Spencer.
Yeah,
I know we haven't had a chance to really recap it. I haven't gone back and re-listened to it yet, but he was a good guest to have on.
Yes.
Nice to hear about his experience at Georgia.
Yeah, and Keith Mitchell, some of the stuff that I saw on him is he was number 26 on the web.com money list a few years ago. So the first man out.
Dang.
And fought his way through and...
I had heard he's never won on a pro tour. Was that right? Or maybe
that's
a PGA Tour sanctioned? I got to imagine he won a mini tour event at some point.
Yeah, I would think so. But yeah. I saw his rankings through college. I mean, it wasn't anything great. It was in the 80s and 90s every year. So it's not like he was a world beater in college.
Just takes one break to get out there.
He was a good player. But he's one of those guys, and... The tour is kind of catered to these guys that bomb it, and he's a bomber.
Yeah.
And he hits it good. I think Denham talked about him last week, about, you know, ball striker, and he could play well at the Honda because he's a ball striker.
Did he bring him up?
I think so.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I think the tour caters to a lot of these bombers. You get a lot of courses that are ball strikers.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you look through the list there. I mean, you got Ricky Fowler, Lucas Glover, Furyk, all in the top 10. Bud Cauley, 12th. They're not bombers. I think that the Honda's a little bit more of an old school course.
I mean, right.
Brooks is irrelevant. He drives it straight and far.
But I'm saying somebody like Keith Mitchell.
Right. They catch a hot week with the driver, and they're going to be able to compete anywhere.
But he's played well in other events out there.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't obviously done it on a Sunday before, but he's had some good weeks. And I just think his game or a game like that translates well to the tour.
100%.
And he's got more weeks than, you know, somebody like Brian Gay or Brendan Todd.
Brian Gay, top 20.
But they don't hit it as far. They've got to play well in the weeks that they can.
Right.
Like at the Heritage or the RBC Heritage. Obviously this week at the Honda.
Colonial.
You know.
Pebble,
if they let him in Mexico. Although Dustin Johnson played, but they talk about that being more of a.
I liked seeing the winning score under double digits.
Yeah.
Is there ever going to be a move? I mean, the Honda Classic's one of the oldest continuing running tour stops. Is that ever going to be more of a premier event? I mean, they're kind of sandwiched in a tough spot right now with the schedule.
Yeah, the tour.
But I'd rather see bigger names at the Honda than down in Mexico.
Yeah, the tour didn't do him any favors by moving that, but the Honda is the longest running title sponsor on tour.
It's okay.
It's the longest one. I saw that. So I wish they would take more care of them, but I guess moving the players back to March this year kind of threw some things off. And mm-hmm. then I just don't get excited about the WGC events.
No.
I mean, the course in Mexico, okay, it's different. It's at altitude, but the greens looked not great. And Dustin Johnson has now won 2 out of 3 years. Yeah. I don't get excited about fields where there's 72 guys.
And as a charity, half the field doesn't want to be there. They're just showing up because they're guaranteed money.
Right, and then you get a lot of guys from overseas that, I mean, honestly probably don't compete as well day in on as a lot of those guys.
And we saw it. I mean, if you look at the bottom 15 guys on that leaderboard, we didn't know 80% of the names probably.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, oh, this guy won the Japan Kamichaki Classic.
Right. I don't even know the qualifications for a lot of those people. I just know when I look at the events that me as an avid golf follower still don't know 10 or 12 of the guys and have to look them up.
I did the same thing. I can't think of the guy's name that was playing that he lost. He was like a ridiculous amount of strokes back from Brooke or from Dustin, but he had gotten in based on a Japan tour finish.
Yeah.
I don't see how that grows the game that well.
No, I mean, they like to, I guess they think that more eyeballs are going to.
Like you said, we were more interested in the Puerto Rico Open that week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the Honda needs to be more of a premier event. I mean, last year Tiger played.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Speaking of Tiger.
He was going to play the Honda originally, I think, too. And he pulled out of that saying that he didn't want to play that many in a row. Now he's not playing Arnold Palmer.
I just get nervous about this spa story down there in Jupiter.
A little coincidental.
I mean, that story drops. He drops out of Honda, kind of.
Did it drop on Friday at Mexico?
I think so.
Yeah. So he was kind of stuck there.
Yeah. He couldn't withdraw from there, but then he doesn't go to the Honda and just says, oh, I'm adjusting my schedule a little bit. And then he says he has a neck issue, and then I saw something today. I think Rory maybe said, yeah, down in Mexico, he was getting treatment on his neck.
Hmm.
I don't like it.
No.
Not right before the Masters.
I mean, are we going to see him play a consistent schedule this year? Are we going to see him after the Masters? What's your bet on that? You know he's going to play the Masters.
He's going to play the Players and the Masters. I don't think he's missing that. I don't think he's going to miss the Players or the Masters. I don't know if he'll go play the match play that's kind of sandwiched in between them, or, you know, last year he played Valspar. You were there.
I was there.
Had a good week.
Finished runner up, I think.
Yeah, had a good week.
Top three.
I don't know. I'd like to see him. Obviously, we'd all like to see him play, but just get nervous when he starts because he's so guarded on what he puts out there,
mm-hmm.
that when he actually puts something out there that, nah, my neck's hurt. Okay, so
there's more to it.
Right.
Yeah.
He'd put so little information out there that you don't believe it when you see it.
You beg for more. Have you ever seen those that guy that does the impersonations of the golfers?
Mm-hmm.
He did one where they're like, so Tiger, how you feeling? Oh, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. It's playing hard out there. You won't believe it. And they go, can you elaborate there? I'm feeling really good. It's playing really tough out there. He just adds a couple key adjectives. Yeah.
Thanks, Sansy.
Yeah. Nicknames for everybody. My favorite, though, I mean, not to pick on him, but all these memes going around, like, oh, yeah, his favorite massage parlor shuts down and he can't get treatment on his neck now.
Well, because that story with Robert Kraft, they I don't think anything's ever going to come out, but they keep saying there's a bigger name.
Well, it was
and everybody's
weird.
Like, oh, Jupiter, it must be Tiger.
Well, it was weird in that story, and we were talking with, you know, Lee Rogers gets a lot of press on this podcast.
Yeah.
This is another time we're mentioning him, but he had sent us his story, and they had mentioned, they're just like, yeah, there's a bigger name out there. A lot of PGA and a lot of NBA players live down there. And it's very, very rarely do you single out the PGA in an article like that with as many bigger sports that we have and as many people that live in South Florida, you know? So you got to wonder if that's a coincidence or if they're just saying South Florida PGA pros, but two names you think of, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, both live down there.
Right. I mean, Tiger's got his restaurant down there. It's your favorite place in the world.
Not Tiger's restaurant.
No, but just Jupiter.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
No, we all know the Reef Grill.
I didn't know that there were $59 massage parlors for...
That's pretty cheap, isn't it?
Well, for what Robert Kraft was getting, yeah. I tweaked my back here in Gainesville, and I actually got a real massage, not one of those Asian ones, but...
Way more than $59.
It was $80 plus tip or whatever. Did you see in Hall County last week a bunch of people got arrested?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Didn't see that.
There's been some sketchy massage parlors here.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I hope Tiger's not swept up in that. It wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think.
I don't know why that would stop him from playing the tour, though, unless they were just like, hey, calm down until this blows over. Maybe just keep his name out of the press. I don't know.
Well, I hope he plays at the Players and obviously at the Masters. I guess, got anything else on the Honda or we want to move on to Bay Hill?
Well, do we want to do a little recap of our picks at all?
Yeah, Adam Scott missed the cut.
Adam Scott missed the cut. Jason Duffner made the cut.
No.
Stewart tried reneging on this sushi deal by saying that there was an MDF, which John Rusk clarified MDF is still a made cut.
Yeah, I did. I threw that out there just in case somebody'd be like, you know, be like, yeah, that's probably right. He didn't play any good on
He had to
Saturday.
Grind it out on Friday to make the cut.
I think he
number.
Birdied two of the last three to make the cut on the number.
He's never missed a cut at the Honda, by the way.
Gosh.
I don't know why you'd bet against him. That's your guy.
Yeah. Let me find our picks real quick from last week.
I had Duffner and Fowler.
God, speaking of the picks, I mean, Cal's lock was just getting raked over the coals.
Well,
for betting lazy favorites.
And then they tried switching it up and
it didn't
burned at the stake.
he tried to go. If y'all don't follow us on Twitter, we tweet out Cal's locks, and he is a favorite machine,
mm-hmm.
and had been doing pretty well. And then Bentown K, or
Brent, whatever.
Brent.
What was Cal calling?
he basically just was like, wow, he just keep picking lazy favorites.
He saw some quality real estate inside of Cal's head and purchased it.
And it got so bad that on round three, he took Taylor Gooch over Ricky Fowler at +175 and Bud Cauley over Zach Johnson at +130.
Loss.
No, Bud Cauley ended up pushing somehow.
Oh, okay.
So I only lost one. But pretty funny stuff there. But he definitely got in.
He even admitted that he's like, these aren't my picks. I never do this. This is off the rails.
Yeah. But Cal's locks, I tweeted this out, since we have been tracking him, he is dead even.
That's crazy.
0.00.
That's good good reporting you're doing there to keep track of all that.
He said he's just getting warmed up, though.
There we go.
So last week,
are we sticking with him, or do we want to switch to Bentown K? Bentown K picked Furyk over Keimer on Sunday and cleaned house.
See, I'm like Bentown K. If I'm betting golf, I like the underdogs.
Yeah.
18 holes, anybody can win.
Yeah, that's great. The head-to-head bets on golf are the best.
So last week I had Adam Scott, who just killed me. Missed the cut.
He didn't want to be there.
I mean, ridiculous. And Sergio.
Top 10. Mm-hmm.
You had Duffner and Fowler, so you had a made cut and a runner-up. Denham had Fowler and Horschel. I don't know how Horschel played. I don't remember seeing him anywhere.
I got the leaderboard right. He finished top 20, so Denham wins.
And then Trent had Fowler and Woodland. Woodland was pretty far down.
Yeah, so
he made the cut on the number.
So Denham made the most money with prize money for his picks.
And Denham only had 13% of the vote on who thought would do
better. Who had the most?
Trent. Everybody liked Ricky and Woodland.
Wow.
But
we don't have Trent with us tonight. It's a little quiet in here.
No, there was a question this morning from Todd Pennington. He wanted to know if Trent was going to make an appearance, and I said I don't know. I don't know. It got a little heavy towards the end last week. I said probably not.
The last 30 minutes of that podcast were tough.
Just if y'all are listening, just don't. If you listen to last week's, just cut it off about an hour in when we start asking Denham about his favorite golf movie.
Yeah.
It goes downhill sharply from there.
Quick. We how many times did we ask him what his picks were?
At least three times we asked him what his Honda picks were.
He just, yeah, buddy, I gave him.
Oh.
Denham had himself a weekend, by the way. I called him on Friday, and I was chatting with him a little bit. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, well, just had a lesson on Thursday with my boy D. Gray, play a little golf, and I'm out here again at Seaside. Talk about a weekend.
Always. You gotta watch Denham.
Yeah.
Go spend some money with the Dapper Dog.
I think we sold another hat, my friend Chad.
Well.
Is the AutoPress 25 still active?
You can probably try it.
Yeah. I've been giving it out to people.
Yeah. Might as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, you want to move on to Bay Hill now?
Yeah. Oh, one more thing. You highly doubted my Michael Thompson pick last week, and he pulled through all right.
I did. I said that if it was my last $8,000, I wouldn't spend it on him.
And we didn't get picks from Richard last week, and he ended up winning pool.
He won the DraftKings.
So he's back.
Unbelievable. Did he send him this week?
No, he said he's not doing it anymore. He has another kid on the way, and he needs that $90.
Well, that's good. Good for him. If y'all want, come play DraftKings with us. So Bay Hill this week, obviously talked about Tiger withdrawing. It's a tough course. I can't think the winning score. I don't know that it was. No, it was pretty low last year, but I think Rory won by a lot. But Rory, the past few winners, Rory, Mark Leishman, and Jason Day. And I saw Michael Kim either tweeted or put out a picture on Instagram. I mean, the rough.
Rory finished at 18 under last year.
Oh, gosh.
Won by three over Bryson.
Okay. But Michael Kim tweeted out her Instagram picture. I mean, the rough looked like it was 3 or 4 inches deep. It looked brutally tough.
Wow, Tiger finished fifth last year. He's out.
And not even playing. On Bay Hill, though, Victor Hovland is playing.
Yeah. So
from sorry for y'all. That's Oklahoma State's number one player, not Matthew Wolf.
I had a buddy text me yesterday, and I'm riding around watching my team, and he texts me, Justin Tereshko, and he goes, Victor Hovland's playing Bay Hill because he won the USAM. I'm like, yeah, I know. Why are you telling me this? He goes, you just tweeted out asking why he's not at the college tournament. I'm like, oh, that must have been Stewart.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was like, why is he not playing?
The USAM champ every year gets in Bay Hill.
Yeah, that's a... I feel like when I was in college, the Southern Am champ used to get in.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Southern Am's a big tournament.
Because I remember Webb Simpson winning the Southern Am 1 year and getting in.
Well, Webb Simpson might have got in based on Wake Forest, too.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Southern Am champ got in to Bay Hill.
I could be
wrong on it. Talking about Victor Hovland, though, so he's down there. The team, Oklahoma State's team, just finished up in Cabo. They won anyway.
Did Matthew Wolf win?
No, he finished second.
To who?
Another kid on his team. A kid named Austin Eckhart. Eckhart?
Yeah, sophomore, his roommate. They're so frat bros, too.
So he beat him.
Dang.
So Matthew Wolf finished second to not the number one kid on the team. That's the USAM champ.
I didn't even look at it. Was Wolf lined up as one? Because he's never lined up as one for some reason.
I think he was one.
Okay.
I mean, that team is ridiculous.
Could Hovland contend this week? I've been saying it for a year, and I actually got into a Twitter battle with Patton last year. I had tweeted something out about an amateur is going to contend or win the U.S. Open in the coming years, and he was just like, "That's ridiculous."
The U.S. Open,
mm-hmm.
Specifically that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I had said.
Oh,
I still think it's going to happen, but I mean. The line's getting smaller with the top amateurs versus the tour guys to an extent where somebody's going to get in 1 week and catch fire and just kind of have their game.
I mean, I think Victor Hovland could definitely, I don't know that he'll contend. I mean, obviously he won the USAM and I remember watching some of that last year. I mean, he played really well.
Yeah.
Even beat Cole Hammer pretty handily. But I think Matthew Wolf made it pretty far, too.
Matthew Wolf didn't play the USAM. He was hurt all summer.
There was somebody else that maybe had a teammate battle pretty far along. But anyway, I mean, I'm sure he'll play well.
Yeah.
Victor Hovland. I would not bet against him making the cut. But you've also got a smaller field. You only got 122 guys, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, 34 less than a real full field. So you're only cutting 50 guys.
I wonder what's his price this week.
I'm sure it's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably wouldn't be a bad one to take.
He'd be somebody that nobody's really gonna look for.
I tell you who I'm looking for is and just gonna keep
6,000. Oh, he hasn't made a cut on tour. He's played two events. He played the Farmers Insurance and Mayakoba.
He played Farmers this year?
Mm-hmm. 73-72.
That's not terrible.
No, but it's going home.
Yes. You get no money, and you get to try again next week. Looking over the picks, though, and I don't know some... I just don't know how they do some of the pricing. Like, Lucas Glover's $8,200 this week.
Just finished fourth.
He's finished the top 17 of 7 out of 8 events.
Well, what about...
He was 8,800 last week, finished 4th, and now he's 8,200. Yes. I don't understand some of that.
We need to find somebody that's really smart that can make an algorithm for us.
Yeah.
Or for you.
Yeah, not for you.
Not for me. But what about, like, Matt Every?
Matt Every. He's won twice.
He's won twice here. He's made the cut in four tournaments. I mean, two of them were in the fall, but all four top 20s.
Yeah, and he's pretty inexpensive.
$7,400 bucks.
Yeah, there was another guy down there at 7,600. Oh, Michael Thompson.
He's going to run out this week. He's tired.
Why is he going to run out?
He's tired. Look how many weeks in a row he's played. Maybe just one.
No. One, two, three. This will be his fourth week in a row.
He played in Mexico? He didn't play
Mexico. He didn't play Mexico.
He didn't play Puerto Rico.
He played Pebble, Genesis, Honda.
Yeah.
Okay, so he took a week off in between Jensen.
Okay.
But still, he's gone. And I don't know why I didn't do this last week, but since after the Sony, he went 9th, 13th, 10th, 7th, 16th.
I told you this last week.
Yeah.
And Denham was like, what's the last event he played? Last week at the Genesis. Well, not last week now, but at that time.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, every $7,400, he's got four top 20s.
Mm-hmm. We're going ahead. We didn't even play the song. We got to back off here of our picks.
Well, okay. Do you want to cue up the music?
No.
Okay. Well, then we'll just keep going.
Yeah, but not picks. We got to keep talking about Bay Hill.
Oh, okay. We're going back to Bay Hill.
Yeah.
Hard
golf course. Why are they shooting 18 under?
I don't know. I don't remember the conditions last year. Maybe this year it'll be firm and fast and lots of rough.
I got a hot take about Bay Hill. We're going to see the same thing that we see every year with this whole tribute to Arnie and all these sad people and wow, 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 what a great guy. How much longer are we going to keep doing these send-offs and stuff like that? I mean, at one point do we focus on the now a little bit more? Or do we not? Am I being unfair?
No, I mean, I think you give it a couple more years.
Yeah.
I mean, he died 2 years ago?
It's not about his death or anything. I don't like the first tee stuff at Augusta and how the Jack and Gary player and now Tom Watson, they play the par 3 contest together, and that's all they focus on. And it's like, oh, isn't this so great?
This is you getting mad about TV coverage again?
Yeah. But, like...
On the Wednesday par 3 contest at Augusta.
I don't watch it anymore because I don't care to see Jack Nicklaus's grandson hit a golf ball.
He made a hole in one.
Cool. It's a funnel pin.
Okay. It's still pretty cool.
Vivi could do it.
Vivi only likes to rock out.
Yeah.
We ain't got her to golf yet.
But I don't know. I mean, the sentimental stuff it gets old.
I agree. I think a lot of that has to do is they're playing to the older crowd.
Yeah, but people...
They're not playing us. I mean, I think with Arnie...
I just don't get my rocks off, like, with all this stuff. Like, oh, my gosh, isn't this so cool? Isn't this great? Like, no, I want to see the current coverage. Let's not see the same video we watched last year with Jim Nantz announcing it.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm just saying...
It's still NBC this week.
Yeah, it's so NBC till the Masters.
Yeah. No, players.
Oh, the players.
They're back next week at CBS, I think. Right?
I think CBS doesn't come back till the Masters.
Okay.
I feel like when they signed off, they said, we'll see you at Augusta.
That's why Amanda Bellionis has been on vacation.
Yeah. There you go. But I think, back to that, I think they're just pandering to the older crowd. And you and I mean, my memories of Arnie are few and far between.
Yeah, I don't have
any. We don't have anything for him coming up. I think kind of the last thing I remember about Arnie playing is his last round at the Masters. I remember seeing that shot that I tweeted out where he hit that driver on 18 off the deck at Bay Hill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's really...
Ran it all the way up around the pond.
Yeah, it was an awesome shot, and mm-hmm. I remember watching it, but I couldn't tell you what year it was. I thought that was a cool shot, but like that's what I think Arnie. So I think you get a lot of these older guys that remember Arnie and loved him. I mean, what'd you think of Jack last week at the Honda?
I didn't see it.
Oh. No, I mean...
I missed the whole Honda. I was out of touch all day Saturday driving, and then Sunday was practice round, and then tornado watch.
Yeah, that's true.
I tried rewatching it at night, but I fell asleep. Disappointing.
Well, I thought it'd be a little more exciting that you wouldn't fall asleep. Well, I guess when you know what's going to happen.
I had to wake up real early, you know. I had to work. Rare. Yeah,
you've had a big day.
Today, yeah. Well, a big weekend. Actually, let me recap my last 4 days. Do you mind me doing that?
No, that's great.
So Friday morning, I woke up, I got up to Piedmont pretty early, and I'm sitting there, and you know, I was going to do a pretty cool thing where I was going to make like a yardage book for my guys, where I was going to map out Callaway Gardens, I had seen this thing where you can kind of do it through using Google Earth, where you can kind of mark the 150 marks, 200, blah, blah, blah. Seemed like a cool thing. So the coach from Barry, who was hosting the event, calls me Friday morning. This story might go on a little bit. Calls me Friday morning. He's like, JP, what are you doing? I said, I'm kind of being a golf nerd and mapping out this different course we're playing at Callaway. He goes, well, stop doing that because we're underwater. The event might be canceled. And the event was supposed to be Monday, Tuesday. And I'm like, come on, man. It's Friday morning. Give it a rest. And he goes, no, we're supposed to get 2 more inches of rain on Sunday. If we cancel now, we can get our money back and try to find another event. Or we can risk it, lose our money, and not play if the rain comes. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, uh-oh. And I just want to play. You know, I just want my guys to get out there and play. I love traveling. I love getting out there. So I got on the horn with a couple other coaches, mainly John Schoberg at Emory, and I'm like, what are we going to do? Let's find somewhere else. So we start calling a bunch of other places. He ends up finding the golf club at Savannah Harbor. This is like 11 a.m. Friday. So I'm all geared up. We've got hotels down in Callaway, everything like that. I'm all geared up, ready to go. The guys are going to Callaway. We've got our lineup. Like 1 o'clock, it gets switched. We're going to go to the Savannah now. I've never been to Savannah. We didn't have anywhere to stay. We're trying to figure it out. Then the event at Callaway gets canceled. All the teams from Callaway, there were 23, all but 5 of them decided to go. So now we have 18 teams going to Savannah. So I have to redo the whole trip, which I know it doesn't seem like much, but I mean,
it's a lot of logistics. Yeah,
a lot of logistical work. So then had to do all that, change it up, find a hotel for Saturday night because we were playing a practice round Sunday morning, which was tough. Saturday night in Savannah. Spring breaks a lot for the northern schools, so they're coming down, using all that up. Sunday we played.
Was that tough for your team to deal with?
I'd like to use that as an excuse for our play. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we were tired coming down the stretch. But we stayed at a sleep-in. It was nice.
Yeah.
But we did that, and then we're kind of on our toes all week, and we're supposed to tee off real early today, had some more weather roll in and got delayed, and then played and drove home, and now here I am.
Man.
But I'm moving to Savannah. We stayed right on the river. All these freight liners were coming through, these cargo ships.
What are you going to do in Savannah?
I'm a little too soft to be working on one of those cargo ships. I wish I could. That seems like fun. I don't understand them. They're the most amazing things I've ever seen. Have you ever been close to one of those?
No.
You should. They're like a hotel on water. It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Yeah. So I'm going to work on one of those. Just travel the world.
Hotel on water.
Bigger. It was bigger than our hotel. We stayed at the West End. Savannah's pretty cool, though. We're way off topic.
But you're moving to Savannah.
Eventually.
Okay. Well, let me know. I need to find another co-host.
Yeah.
I don't know who that could be.
I'll come back on Tuesdays. It's only 5 hours.
That's true. You know exactly how far it is.
Yeah. All right. Let's...
Do you want to get back to Bay Hill?
Well, I'd like to, yeah.
So, hold on. So, if you had to pick between Jupiter and Savannah,
Jupiter, every day.
Okay.
The weather was a little cold there. It wasn't as cool as Jupiter.
Okay.
Jupiter's my home, easy living. And they've got the Reef Grill.
And the Orchid Spa.
Yeah.
$59.
Those...
We didn't have a meal in Jupiter less than $59.
Yeah, we did. The Reef Grill was cheap.
That was not cheap.
Yeah, it was.
No.
George's meal was cheap.
That's true. They cooked for us.
We're back. We're back to the... We're back on track, going back to Bay Hill.
So can I give you my picks now?
All my college talk is done.
But that's crazy, though. You could take 23 teams and move them across the state of Georgia and get 18 of them to come.
Dude, it was a logistical miracle.
I'm kind of wondering why the other 5 didn't go.
We didn't invite them.
Oh, okay.
We could only have 18. So.
Oh. Trim the fat.
Hopefully they don't listen or didn't look at Golf Stat to see us having a good time. I'm just kidding. They bailed out because they're soft.
Soft. They won't go play in the rain. So this week, Bay Hill, I mean, the number one pick and the number one guy in DraftKings is Rory.
Can't argue against it.
He's 11-4. You better find some cheap guys to go with him. But I don't know how you go against him.
I mean, you got to explain DraftKings to me. If you don't have the winner, can you win?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on.
And I didn't see Richard's picks last week or anything. Did he have a winner?
Let's see who ended up. I mean, with the DraftKings that we're doing, when they're 10 people and the top two win, I mean, Richard won by a bunch. I finished third, like kissing your sister. But, I mean, he had Woodland, Simpson, Glover, Russell Knox, Kokrak, and Ells. He just had everybody make the cut.
That's what he tries to do. That's why he hates the WGCs. That's where he picked for us.
Yeah. And I finished third. I had five guys make the cut, which Adam Scott missed the cut. But I don't know how you go wrong with Rory other than being a little pricey. But I also think, I mean, Ricky Fowler's another good pick. And he's a little less expensive at $10,400. I did see an interesting stat about Ricky Fowler. He's finished runner-up 14 times on tour.
Wow.
14 times. And wow. Won five. I just thought that was a...
And one of those five wins, he tried to lose.
You talking about earlier this year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely did not win that event.
I wonder how many of those 14 top... I mean, it's hard to back into a runner-up, but...
We know, like, 2014 or 15, didn't he finish...
Top five in every major?
Every major?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he plays a lot of good golf.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't win a ton.
Is he another one, though, where, I mean, he's played, he's only played the last 2 weeks. He took a couple after the waste management off. But I get nervous going into this part of the season if these guys are trying to tone it down a little bit. Well, they've got the players coming up.
The match play, which
yeah,
they're going to go play. And then the Masters. And
the Masters. But I mean, Justin Rose took Mexico off. Did he play the Honda?
Justin Rose has not played since he won at the Farmers and then went to the Saudi Arabia and missed the cut.
That's irrelevant.
He hasn't played. He did not play the whole month of February.
You can't count him out. I mean, he finished top five last year.
He plays so well every time he plays.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys at the top. I mean, on DraftKings is Rory. Tiger was priced 11-1, which is crazy to me. But I mean,
blows my mind. He's number two.
Rose, Fowler, Koepka. I don't know who is a bad pick of those. Jason Day, if he doesn't sneeze wrong and wants to play. Mark Leishman.
Mm-hmm. 8 out of 8 cuts this year. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, a third, a fourth, a second.
2/4.
That's why I think you go down to somebody like Lucas Glover at 8,200. It's just been absolutely ball striking it to death.
J.B. Holmes is only 7,800.
A lot of guys are cheap, and I think that's just because – a lot of the
I wonder how much they have to kind of spread it out based on where they're at the top, because you've got to keep it under that 50,000. I wonder if there's like an algorithm where, all right, we can only have X amount of guys above this, and then we have to spread it out amongst.
I think so.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely kind of flight it and then mm-hmm. give them the one guy that sticks out to me that I don't think will be highly owned is Ian Poulter.
Yeah.
Finished third in Mexico. I mean, he's been playing on the European tour, and then he played in Mexico, but his last four starts have been 6th, 3rd, 6th, and 3rd. I think he's a great pick this week.
That's pretty good.
Charles Howell, $8,600.
When is Charles Howell a bad pick?
Yeah, you could take him.
Unless you don't like money, I wouldn't. If you don't like money, don't pick Charles Howell.
Yeah, since
that guy's an ATM.
Since the RSM Classic, he's finished outside the top 20 one time, and that was 34th. So, pretty good pick. Then you can pick some cheap guys this week, too. You said you don't like Victor Hovland. Are you gonna keep riding the amateur train?
It's hard not to. That guy's pretty seasoned right now. He's played a couple college events. He's had a couple of reps under him. He played the Farmers already this year. So he's warmed up. He's ready to go.
I was looking at this earlier, and I saw a D Love, and it didn't have a picture. And I was like, how did Drew Love get in this event? But it was Davis. Yeah. What about your boy Dom? What's Dom Bazzelli going to do this week?
He's probably going to win.
7 out of 9 events. 7 out of 9 cuts he's made, I should say.
He's been in the top. He's been on the leaderboard on Sunday 5 times since the start of the season. I mean, it's a wraparound season, but still. He's not scared to get up there. He's rested. He's eager. It's in Florida. I mean, he's done pretty well on Bermuda greens. I'd be very happy if you picked Dom. I mean, he's confident.
Feeling the flow?
Yeah. He's got a bunch of family coming down this week. He's going to have a big home field advantage. He likes to show off for people.
When is your next PGA Tour event that you're going to attend?
I've got the well, he's kind of limited on his schedule right now based on his status. But maybe the Wells Fargo.
You're going?
I mean, if he's playing in it.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
So you're not going if Dom's not playing?
No. Why would I?
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I got nobody to follow. Streb. I don't think Patton really likes having me follow him, so I stay away from that.
Why do you think that?
I get a little rowdy, you know.
I thought Patton would enjoy that.
Patton's moody.
Towards you?
Towards the crowd. I saw him at the Barbasol one year. His caddy, I think it was, actually, it might have been Meds. They went after some guy in the stands at the, I should probably get my facts straight about this one, but either Patton's caddy or Meds' caddy went after some guy in the stands who was kind of acting a fool. They switched the nines for the Barbasol, I think. They
switched 9 and 18.
So it's weird. It was 17, the par 3.
Yeah.
There was a grandstand there. And
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, it was Meds because the guy ended up jawing back at Meds and being like, "Ah, I'm a sponsor of the event. I own tailgate guys." And it was a whole deal.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how I got Patton involved in that.
You just got him mixed up with Meds.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It works.
They're both Auburn guys.
But yeah, I basically really just kind of go to PGA Tour event if Dom's there.
That's a good strategy, though.
Yeah. Makes me comfortable. I don't like being outside my comfort zone too much.
Well, we need you to go to another event just to get some good stories.
Yeah. Well, this week's going to be tough. I'm playing the Pot of Gold this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Down in Moultrie. So I can't go to the Bay Hill. Next week,
Tell us about the Pot of Gold. Who are you going with?
James Mason, Matt Mixon, who is a competitor of yours. He's the number one insurance salesman in North Georgia. There's a billboard up in Clarksville
states
that. And then Joe Culpepper, a buddy of mine from Franklin, North Carolina, who plays at the Orchard.
Have you played at the Pot of Gold?
No.
Whew. It's a tough golf course.
Is it?
It's like the greens are about the size of this table and they fall off like it.
Stu, I'm a ball striker.
That's true.
Yeah.
You'll do well.
Yeah. It's a piece of cake. They should name it the piece of cake for JP.
The only bar down there in Moultrie is called, well, when I played it was called Bentley's, and it's a converted funeral home. And it's really weird when you go in there, you can kind of tell. If you know it's a funeral home, you can tell that it's a funeral, that it used to be a funeral home.
Well, that'll work well. I don't know if we'll be going there.
I went there one year, and they had not 38 special, but 37 special playing in a parking lot, and it was a big concert.
I don't know who that is.
Hold On Loosely? Mm-mm. Okay. We're before your time.
Where'd we go here?
Pot of gold.
I know, but we were on picks before.
Well, we kind of ran through them.
Yeah, we did we?
Yeah.
I thought I still was giving some.
I mean, if you've got some more to give, that's fine.
We should call Richard. It's a little late, though.
Yeah, Richard. Richard probably don't want to talk to us.
Mm-hmm. Is the web dot back this week?
Nope.
What about the Champions Tour?
The Champions Tour is because Bob May got in on the Monday qualifier.
Bob May has to Monday qualify?
Yeah.
God, what are they? What are the qualifications to get out there?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if we want to know if the web.com's playing, we just go see where Ed Lore Tracker is.
Bob May, 03, no.
99.
Maybe it was the Xeris Classic up in Rochester, because I was 21.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the greatest golf tournament ever.
No, no, no. I'm talking about Bob May.
Bob May and Tiger Woods?
Yeah, yeah, that was a great tournament. PGA. But I'm just talking about him as a person.
Oh.
We were hanging out. It must have been during the... He must have been playing the Nationwide Tour one year, the Xeris Classic, and he ended up... Xeris Classic was in Rochester, and he ended up in Thirsties. And
oh, yeah.
During that week, obviously, I was there. And I started talking to him. And I'm like, man, that was great watching. And I'm sure that's what he wanted to hear, reminiscing about that. But I was like, let me buy you a drink here. He was drinking iced tea, unsweetened.
At Thirsties?
At Thirsties.
Probably didn't throw him out.
Right? I'm surprised they had it. I wonder if he brought his own.
The web.com does not come back until March 21st.
Oh.
Ridiculous. They take 5 weeks off. So, I don't know.
I got to use the restroom real quick.
All right.
Do you mind?
No. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. But I'll figure something out.
Just keep talking. Usually we don't announce this. We just kind of slide out.
Well, we don't have Trent here with us. Jimbo Floyd sent me a couple really funny videos that I don't know if anybody's seen lately on Twitter with some golf fights that have broken out here lately. And one of them, I have to try to find them, but one of them, somebody supposedly hit into somebody and the other guys drive up. And I guess the guys on the green say something to him, and the guy gets out from behind and looks like a wood and just absolutely rakes the guy in the back with it 3 or 4 times. And there's yelling, and it looks like one of the guys has his wife with him, which is probably why he's trying to fight and be all big anyway. But she runs off. So we got that fight going. And then the most recent one that he sent me yesterday was really funny. And there's it looks like it's in Ireland or Australia. And there's a guy that supposedly it's a club championship. And he just yells at the guy across the bar. And he says, "You're a thief. You're a cheat." And the other guy obviously takes objection to it, comes across the bar, and it's two pretty big guys, and he shoves the guy, and he goes into the glass and breaks the glass everywhere. The other guy punches him a few times. So, some pretty interesting golf fights on Twitter here lately.
Is this what we were sent the other day?
Yeah, I was telling him the one that I've seen about the guy driving up with a 3-wood and just raking the guy across the back.
Oh,
they hit into him and he took exception to it. And then the other one that Jimbo just sent yesterday where the guy yells at the other guy across the bar and they get into a fight and he pushes him through a glass wall. I mean, it's crazy.
Have you ever been in a fight on a golf course?
No.
I got in one once.
Let's hear it.
An absolute... I mean...
Over what?
So, we were on the 5th hole at Monroe, and it was my friend Brian Mensch, who's still a good friend of mine to this day. But we were basically the only two people who would play in any weather, any day, no matter what time of year. We'd hate each other some days, but we'd still go play golf. But back in the time when, like, we were like 14, 15, we started learning about the pre-shot routine, maybe, you know, how big of a deal it was. He was talking during my pre-shot routine. And I didn't.
You do not strike me as somebody that would get offended with talking during your pre-shot routine. Well,
I didn't hit a very good shot. And I was like, hey, man, you can't talk during my pre-shot routine, you know? So I didn't really, it wasn't then, but we got to number seven. And, I mean, we'd get into these intense matches over, and we weren't even playing for anything. We just wanted to beat each other like nobody else. And I talked during his pre-shot routine. And he hit his shot and hit it in the right trees and came after me with his driver. And I was a little bit bigger than him. I grabbed him and threw him on the ground. I'm like, hey, man, we're not going to do this. And he, like, grabbed my shirt and ripped it. And I clocked him in the face, and he clocked me. And
this is on number seven at Monroe?
Number seven at Monroe. Richard Hinman was playing with us, and I think Sean Pender.
You were close to the home hole.
Oh, close to the home hole. And I was wearing this Hawaiian shirt. I don't know why I remember this, but.
With buttons on the front?
Yeah, but like it was like a polo. No, just like a polo.
Oh.
But
I didn't know they made those.
We just kept playing, and one of us had like a bloody nose that had gone all over the shirt. And so we finished seven. We're hitting on eight, and we, you know, it's okay by now, and we're just playing. And Jim Merva, the pro, comes out, and he's like, hey, guys, everything all right? We got a call from somebody on 17 that said there was a fist fight going on the course. And he gets out of the cart and sees the blood all over the shirt. He's like, oh, I can't believe you guys. And he loses it and pulls us off the course. And
did y'all tell him y'all were fine? Y'all made
yeah,
up?
But we got suspended for a couple weeks. We had to fill divots. It was brutal.
I have not been on in a fight on the golf course.
No? You should try it.
I think the closest that I remember seeing a fight on the golf course, but it was in college. But it was more of Coach Griffin being mad at us at Eagle Landing one year because it was a 36-hole day, and they didn't change the pins after 18. So Coach Griffin's logic was there is no way you should shoot worse the second round than the first round. They don't change the pins. You know the pins. You've played the golf course.
Great logic.
No possible way you could ever shoot worse. And he was pretty hard on Andrew Medley at that time, but the 16th hole was a 200-yard par three with water, and I was 3 under going into it. I made an 8, and so that was the 16th hole, and I can't remember what I shot in the morning, maybe 72, and so I went from 3 under to 2 over. I bogeyed the next hole, and I was 3 over. So going into 18 was an easy par 5, and Cabo was walking with me, and he got up to Coach Griffin and said, Stewart's got a birdie putt here, and Coach was like, okay, what's that for? And he was like, that's for 2 over. Now, Coach Griffin, at the last point, thought I was 3 under.
Yeah.
He's like, that's for 2 over. And he's like, okay, so 2 under? He's like, no, 2 over. And I made the putt. And we got into the hotel room afterwards, and Coach Griffin lost it on the entire team. That was the maddest I ever saw him in my 5 years counting the red shirt. I thought he was going to hit one of us. And he was so mad at us. And he could not understand that we could shoot worse the second round. And for some reason, he took it on Andrew Medley.
Did he shoot worse the second round?
Yeah, but I did too. But it was he wasn't mad at me for some reason. I think maybe because I made an 8 on the 16th hole.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That's just the – talking about fighting, I just remember seeing so much anger.
You were going to fight your coach.
And we were – no, we were just all scared. He was so angry. It's the angriest I ever saw him.
Man. Yeah, don't fight on the golf course. Doesn't get you anywhere. Although Jim Merva tells that story in every speech he gives.
Does he name you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He was a PGA Pro of the Year nationally, and his introductory speech or his acceptance speech had that story in it.
Why is he telling that?
I don't know. He's just telling stories from his literally, it's like his favorite story ever.
Well, at least you won the fight.
I mean, who knows who won it?
Who had the bloody nose?
I don't remember. He was on the ground. He punched me first, and I was just like, no, you're not going to do that. And you'll have to ask Richard. I wish we could get Richard on. We'll have to call him sometime.
It's too late.
Yeah, he's got a kid on the kid and a kid on the way. Too late.
Way too late.
I feel like I've been a little unprepared tonight with all my travel this week. Hopefully we didn't ramble on too much.
No. We got it figured out. Recapped Honda, Bay Hill, rules. Yeah. The rules are terrible.
I'm a little flustered.
Yeah.
Off my game.
Yeah, well, I thought it was good.
Who's our? Do we want two picks to win? One pick? What are we going with?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're both going to pick Rory.
So if we do two picks,
yeah. So I mean, I think this is the week. Let's do two picks other than Rory.
Two picks, okay.
And I want Lucas Glover.
You know what we should start doing? We should start tracking, like, how much money our picks win or something, or how many points they get in DraftKings, stuff like that.
Well, let's go off money.
Go off money?
I want Lucas Glover and Ian Poulter.
All right. I always pick Dom if he's playing.
Okay, you got Dom.
And Matt Every.
I like it.
Bring it.
Well, we can put that poll up. I think I'm going to win this week on my pick. Well, maybe not.
Hey, don't speak too soon.
We got a lot of Dom fans.
Your guys are tired.
Lucas Glover's not tired.
Nobody's a fan of Ian Poulter.
Ball striking. Nobody's going to think of Ian Poulter.
Yeah, but they're not a fan of him. They're not going to vote for Ian Poulter.
We'll see. You never know. I mean, Lucas Glover, before this year, would you have thought Lucas Glover would be like a great pick?
He won the U.S. Open.
No.
Yeah, he did.
Duval got it stolen from him.
Dude, that... the bunker shot, he was on 16, he hit the sickest bunker shot and hit the pin and it spins all the way off the green.
I wish we had a video for people to see your face when I said that about Duval.
I still remember all these shots.
So angry.
I am.
So angry.
Because it was just nonsense. I mean, he was performing. He wasn't choking. He was hitting the shots and just getting screwed. I mean, royally.
That was a Monday finish. I remember watching it.
There was a Monday qualifier at Monroe for the Wegmans that year.
Man.
I think I was caddying in it.
I think our ultimate goal for this podcast...
Actually, I was caddying in it. My friend Chico was in town.
Somebody asked me, or somebody was telling me today, that somebody had heard our podcast with Spencer and was like, what do they want to do with this? And they're like, they're amateurs. We're just doing it to have fun.
Just trying to grow a friendship.
I know what our goal is, our ultimate goal is, is to have David Duval on the podcast.
Wow.
We can, if we ever get David Duval on the podcast, we can stop.
We have to retire? Then I can move to Savannah? Yeah. Or Jupiter?
Yeah. If we get David Duval on the podcast.
I'll start working on it. Does AutoPress follow? Does David Duval?
I don't know he's if he's not, real. He's used not that to be active. Pretty active yeah. on Twitter.
He's responded to me once.
Yeah.
Way back
you
in the day.
You used to go after him on Twitter. After him, but just responding to him.
Like every, I'll pick somebody every once in a while, like Zach Blair that one time.
Yeah, you wore him out.
Yeah.
Finally responded.
Finally responded. David Duval was the same way. Finally got back to me. He'll do it again.
Well.
We got to find him somewhere.
If anybody can help us, that's the ultimate goal of the podcast now.
Don't We've help us too it. Soon, though. We're having fun with this. Like
I know, but then we can set something different.
Dang, you're right. All right.
I mean, we could just have Duval on and just talk about that U.S. Open.
Does he want to relive that?
Maybe. He probably would at this point.
I do. I want to figure out if he thinks he got royal. I mean, the USGA has heavier pins. Does that not bounce as much off a fiberglass pin? I mean,
I don't remember the shot you're talking about.
You know, he was in the bunker and nipped this bunker shot. It was gonna land like a foot, and it drilled the pin and came all the way off to the fringe. Brutal break. And he flagged the tee shot. Gust of wind.
Gust got us Rome's.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back.
Thanks for the patience.
Sometime next week. See y'all.
In the hole.
Yeah.
Great putt, man. Ooh.